Hi guys, welcome back to the Tone Deaf Hippies. I'm Sulema Wagner.
And I'm Vince Montenegro.
And today we're going to do the first part of 1960s
girl groups.
We're going to split it into two parts because we have 10 girl groups all together. So today we're going to be doing the first two, and the other three will come, you know, in a few weeks. Vince, why don't you start us off? So who are we talking about today?
Today we're going to... I feel like I need to look at you. Today we're going to talk about the Cookies. And they actually... Well, even though they started in the 50s... I'm putting them in this group because they became, there's two lineups in there. And the first one was somewhat famous, and then the second one, it was the one that like was like bigger, bigger and then more famous.
I actually came across some of that stuff too, that they're considered, like even when you look them up on Spotify or on Amazon Music, you had to look them up under like 1960s girl groups, but they actually started in like mid 50s, towards the end and stuff. So I get what you're saying.
So, but yeah, the second lineup, I think that's the one started in 61, and that one. I mean, oh, and then the thing is, like, they're all related. All the girls
in both
lineups, they're related. Like they're cousins, and then the second time they're like sisters of the cousins, and so it's like girls
cross stuff
like that's kind of cool. And but yeah, so the second line of that's one that makes the most money, like the most notoriety. And then besides them only just singing there as a group, like under the Cookies, they also did backup stuff for other famous artists at the time.
That's funny. That's gonna be our connection. Like, my group's the same thing.
They do backups for like a lot of famous songs. Let me see if I can.
Why don't you start first though by saying who's in the groups?
Oh yeah, you wanna know? Oh, the actual
tell
names,
us who's
right?
In the group? Yeah, like the names. Girls in the
So the let me see. So the. Well, I'll just tell you, but you know, all of the members of the Cookies were, like I said, like cousins and whatever. Like Darlene McCree, Margie Hendrix, Earl Jean McCree, Dorothy Jones. She's the one that I believe started the group, actually, Dorothy Jones. And what is that?
Where are they from?
Bola Robertson and Margaret Ross. And they're from New York. Yeah, Brooklyn.
Oh, okay.
New York. So, yeah, they originally started in 54 to 58 was the first lineup, and the second lineup, the more popular one, is from 62 to 67. And, yeah, like, I mean, the second lineup, the one that's the most interesting to me is because they have the more, I mean, their songs are nicer and they're better. But, yeah, like, the... I guess the people that, because obviously, I don't know, during this time, the band members didn't really write their own songs. You know, people wrote songs for them, and then they sang them. But the person that would write a lot of their songs were like, oh, this is what you wanted to know about Phil Spector.
Oh.
So, okay, so, what are the names?
So there
Carol
is a
King... In a loose way.
But that's... Yeah,
so
that's
Carole
good.
King... Okay, so... So Carole King and Jerry Goffin... were the ones that wrote a lot of their songs, right?
Jerry Goffin, yeah.
So... And then... They also... There you go. So you know how I told you that they provide vocals for other bands? Yeah, you know? They did it for Little A.
For who? Here we go with the laughing that I can't understand. Like,
my chunting that came out right there. I felt. the so little
Well, we'll get to it,
no,
guys.
okay. So, little Eva, she's the one that sings the locomotion song.
Oh, okay.
So you
Yeah,
remember?
I
So
know.
this is how they're connected.
Okay.
She, little Eva, used to get beat up by her boyfriend or husband. I don't know. I think it was her husband.
Okay.
And when apparently Phil Spector and somebody else
What
like
joined
at,
in?
confronted her about it, they're like, is he like what's going on?
He
Because
was acting like he
like no
was.
no no well he
Oh.
and then the thing is that he like she said she replied with like, no, he hits me because he loves me. So when he wrote the song,
I've heard
he hit me and
that.
it felt
And
like a
it felt
kiss.
like a
It's based
kiss.
on what ha was going on
Yeah.
with her. So that's how
I remember.
loosely you want to see it were connected
Wow.
because of the time.
Wow. I have actually heard that before, but I was more
Oh
shocked
yeah, but
because of
that's
Phil
not.
Spector being the
Oh, well,
crazy
actually, we're gonna talk
beater. Yeah,
about
we
that
are. We'll get to
band,
that.
but not today though. Which the name of the band was The Crystals,
Oh,
and
yeah.
the name of the song is "He Hit Me,"
And if
and it
no,
felt
he
like a.
kissed
No, he
me.
kissed me. Oh yeah, no, he hit me.
No, it's
It's
called He
called.
Kissed Me and it felt like.
There you go. See, you're the dumb
Oh
one
yeah,
now.
you're right. It is. It I did. You're right.
He
It is.
hit me, and it
Oh,
felt
it felt
like
like
a
a
kiss.
kiss. Okay.
That's the name of the song. So yeah, if you want to check that out.
A lot of the songs back then though were
Yeah, we're
very
like,
like, oh yeah, it's okay. I get beat up. No big deal. He loves me. That's why he does it. You know, or guys being too aggressive, like, you're gonna say yes, whether you like it or not. So.
Well, the part of the times.
Well,
So,
not
oh,
like
so what
songs
else?
nowadays
Oh,
are any
and
better.
so yeah, we're losing track. We're losing track.
We're
So,
still on the cult.
oh, another thing why they're so good. So you know the song. Okay, you are the Miss
Biddle.
Beatle fan, right? So
Okay.
you know their song Chains. They were the original singers. They originally recorded that song.
So the Beatles is doing a
A cover,
cover?
yeah.
Wow.
See, and
Huh.
I was like, I bet you the lame ass does not even
I
know
do
that.
not know that.
Cause
Who? Okay, I'm gonna ask you a question though. Who made it more popular? Obviously, the Beatles, huh?
I guess, I don't know, because I had never heard the Beatles song. I've always heard the Cookie song. So I don't know. Maybe it's one of those rare Beatles cover songs or whatever.
That's weird though. Okay. Fun
But
fact.
yeah,
That was a
fun. Oh
fun
yeah, that was
fact.
your fun
That
fact.
was your fun
Oh no,
fact
I
for
think the fun
today.
fact was the how connected they are to Phil
Oh, that
Spector.
is, yeah. I like that. Because in some way or another, I think everyone in this in the girl groups kind of era was connected with Phil Spector. Like at some loose way, like you said, or
So yeah, so I mean they did that a lot. They did a lot of backup vocals, and they ended up just dying from like cancer and like Alzheimer's diseases and
Did
shit
they
from being
break
old.
up?
Yeah, like yeah.
What year?
That was 67. So yeah.
Well, in 67, that's kind of when bands were the girl group bands, have you
But
noticed? Like
these
they were
were
changing
oh
to
these like
disco.
no, not just that, but like the I feel like this girl group is like early 60s, so they're more like I guess the beat and the thing was like different. I don't know how to explain it.
No, I get
Like
what
it
you're
was more
saying. Yeah.
wholesome, I guess you can
Yes,
say.
no, I get what you're
And then I feel
saying.
like the later 60 girl groups are more like the one I'm gonna talk about later. They're like, ooh, we're rough, we have edges, like we're
Well,
motorcycle
like you said
gangs.
the other, like you said earlier, it
Like we're
was the
tough.
times,
Yeah.
like, and I feel I was telling Derek earlier that I feel like every artist at the very beginning is very like sweet and innocent, kind of naive in their
Oh.
lyrics and stuff, and then they get, like
Edgier.
edgy and deep and yeah,
Sexier.
risque
Now? Oh
and
no, that was back then. No.
they're well, everyone grows, everyone evolves, but I think every artist kind of starts very innocent and naive and stuff.
Oh, I would say, yeah.
Their naive. Lyrics. But,
especially when okay, pop.
Are you, is that, especially is when that it pop. For yours?
Yeah, that's all it right. for the cookies.
Okay, so I guess it's my turn. So I will start, since we're talking about Phil Spector, one that is very, very connected to Phil Spector, the Ronettes.
Oh, yeah.
And I know we have mentioned them even in previous episodes, in previous podcast episodes. So let me start. Okay. So the Ronettes were a girl group, a trio from New York City. And not like the good part of New York City. It was like, yeah, it was like
a little rough part.
Yeah, it was the rough part. I think it was Brooklyn, if I'm not mistaken. I think, but like the really rough parts.
I don't know. That's New York
yeah, I don't either. So I'm not sure
in
on that.
The
don't
60s
quote me on that.
Or 50s,
but they also started in the late 50s, and just like you were saying, they were related. It consisted of three girls, like I said. The first
I
one
feel
was
like not a lot of groups are like that now. Or is that just
related?
Yeah.
Or maybe
big
back
fame
then.
Big ones though. Like
I think
ones.
Groups were bigger back then too. Now it's more solo artists. Maybe that's one
oh,
too.
That's fine.
Maybe
like,
no,
that's
no,
just,
that's a good no, that's a good observation. I'm just saying well
a good observation.
Of always making fun of me because I'm a nerd. But, yeah, so they were from New York City, three girls.
Oh,
oh actually, God. Here it is. They're from Spanish Harlem, New York.
Oh wow.
Yeah,
yeah,
that's rough, like I told you. So it consisted of Veronica Bennett, who was also known, or later on, was known as Ronnie Spector.
Oh, that's,
and,
I was gonna
add, yeah, and that's because she married him. Married Phil Spector, but we'll get to that right now. So Veronica Bennett, her older sister Estelle Bennett, and then their cousin Nedra Talley. And the three girls, they were Black, Cherokee, and Puerto Rican, actually. And they come from like a they came from a really big family. And what they would do is every Sunday they would get together at their grandma's house. And so in order to kind of, you know, change it up from just playing games, board games or things like that, they would start putting out acts. And they would cover songs from, oh my God, what is his name? Lemon and the Freshman. What is his first name? I can't think of it right now. But it's that song that Why Do Fools Fall in Love?
Oh,
you know what,
yeah.
What song
oh
I'm
my
talking
God.
About. Yeah. So they would do covers of their songs because that's what was going on in the radios at that time and everything. And they really liked it. They got into it, but they were really young. They were only like 16 or 17 at the time. And so their mom would help them to do their makeup and their hair so that they looked older, and they started doing amateur night at one of the clubs, and then they got hired, you know, to do it as a weekly spot because they were good. I don't know exactly how they met Phil Spector, but they met him in 63. Oh, and by the way, they used to be called at this point, oh my goodness, what was her name at first? If I can remember, it will come to me. I'm sure it will. But they had a different name at first, and so when Phil Spector met them, he's the one that changed them to the Ronettes from Veronica. Then he would call her Ronnie, and then Ronette.
Oh,
mm-hmm. So that's
I was wondering because I mean I was like
yeah, that's pretty much how you got it. But, okay, so then he signed them, and this was in 1963, and this is, actually, I found this really interesting. So, you know that song, Be My Baby?
Yeah.
By, you know, by the Ronettes? it was number two on the Billboard charts at that time for a long time. Mm-hmm. And that's the song that kind of made them a star. Well, turns out at that time, Sonny Bono was working for Phil Spector, and he was dating Cher at the time. So Phil Spector asked Cher to do the backup vocals on that song.
Oh.
Yeah. So she actually, that was like her first thing that she started off in, and it was just by chance because she was dating, you know, Sonny. She was there. They were going to do the record that song, and he's like, hey, you want to do backup? So Cher is doing backup on that song on Be My Baby. So I thought that was pretty interesting. That was my fun fact for the Run-Its. And let me see what else.
I know them because of the Beehive. That's what they're like. Their iconic thing is the Beehive.
And that's because, like I told you, their mom is the one that would teach them how to do their hair and makeup to look older. Mm-hmm. And that was what, like, older ladies were wearing their hair, like, really, really high in the Beehive at that time, instead of, like, pigtails or something. Yeah. Like that. You know, I guess. And, yeah, so that's straight how they would get hair into, you're right, that's how they would get into the clubs and everything, so they all thought they were older. And another fun fact is that the Run-Its were also the only girl group to ever tour with the Beatles.
Aww.
Yeah. So, yeah, they went on tour, like, in Germany in 1967. It was right before they broke up, though. So it must have been a really rough tour or something, you know. And at that time, when they did break up in 67, Ronnie married Phil Spector. All the girls, when they all split up, they all got married and stuff. But she married Phil Spector. And remember we talked about this in another episode, that she wrote a book about how crazy he was. That
oh, you told me.
Yeah. So apparently he would beat her. That's why I was saying that I found it funny that you were saying he was concerned and asking another girl if she was getting beat up, because he was apparently doing it to his own wife, that he would beat her, and had these dogs, Dobermans, in the yard, but they didn't, like, know her, like, as a pet or something, so they were there to prevent her from leaving instead of intruders.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
And he would take her shoes. He had, like, them in a closet with lock and key. What? Yeah. And he wouldn't let her wear shoes. So, when she finally decided to leave him, or, you know, had made a plan or something, her mom helped her escape, and she left without shoes.
What?
Yes. And,
creepy.
Yeah, she wrote in the book that, like, he wouldn't even let her go outside or anything, or for walks or anything whatsoever. And he, the whole entire time that they were married, he only took her out once to the studio to do a song that he wanted to record. So it was just like she was there.
She was locked up
in a cage. Yeah, like she was there for
a prison
him.
Is still a prison.
Yeah.
No.
It was like quarantine back in the 60s.
No, I was trying to quote a freaking movie. A prison is still a prison, but
I don't know what movie. Oh, I thought you were going to you haven't gotten into that part, your reference thing.
Oh, what are you talking about?
You said you were going to reference a movie when we were talking about
Oh,
it.
Yeah. When I do my girl.
Yeah, that's why I said maybe I just haven't gotten into it. But, yeah, he only took her once the entire time that they were married.
Oh,
I know. In 1969. Well, no, but he took her only once. Like, she was trying to say, like, he never took me out anywhere. And the one time he took me out, it was to the studio to record, you know, a song. Yeah,
That's the time to start changing topic.
I know. But yeah, I mean, he sounds crazy, honestly. Yeah. He was very talented, and I've noticed while we're doing the research for this podcast
that he
is very, no, that he is very you know, connected to,
He's a crazy person.
yeah, he's very connected to a lot of the girl groups from the 60s, and he was responsible for a lot of their sound or techniques. Yeah, he had an eye for that. He's just crazy, you know, and he's in jail right now, so who knows if he did it or not, but he'll be out in like 5 years, I think, or something. But yeah, I think that's it that I have to say for the Ronettes. But yeah, I think they were, you're right, they had the beehives, they were beautiful, they sang beautifully. And it seems like they had it rough, you know. But when you, like, if you Google like top girl groups, 60s
Or when
girl
you just
groups,
think about the 60s, you
yeah, you,
think about the
of course, the
Ronettes.
Supremes, you know, but
I think the Ronettes more than the Supremes.
yeah,
Well,
that's
I
what I was
think
gonna
both of
say.
them, actually.
I personally think of the Ronettes a little bit more than, you know, the Supremes, but I mean, they had Diana Ross, so but yeah, that's it for mine.
Okay. So now it's mine. And I'm already going. Now I'm doing now the Shangri-Las. They were also from New York. But what borough, neighborhood? Queens. So they're from Queens. They are, yeah, like, you know, an American pop girl group from the 60s. They became really famous. Well, I guess not very famous. Well, whatever. However you want to see
Famous.
it. Yeah, they became famous with one of their one major hit that went to number one, and then just the fact that their usual topics were like teenage drama and tragedies and melodramaticness.
But
But
innocently.
no, but because they were teenagers though.
That's true.
They
That
were
is
no,
true.
these
Yeah.
girls were
No,
like,
all of
oh
them
yeah,
kind
oh
of were.
yeah, actually
Yeah.
that is true.
Yeah.
Yeah, Cookies were like really young too. Well, the first wave. So
Maybe that's
yeah,
why, too,
they're
you know, they were still really
yeah.
innocent.
But
Man.
so wait, hold on, let me tell you then. So they're also like related. One of them is like they're like there's twins, and then the
Oh,
other
okay.
one's like cousins. I don't know, so I can't remember. They're like related somehow,
Everyone's related
but
to
yeah.
someone in their group, huh?
No, yeah, because they were two sets of sisters. Yeah, they were like two sisters, two sisters. That was the name of the group. Because sometimes when you see them,
Oh,
and
okay.
then there was like for a while only one of them dropped out. You know, I
One of the
can't.
twins?
Yeah, I think it was one of the twins. And then it was just three, but then she came back, and then you'll see when you look them up, it's that you only see three or four, like three or four,
Oh, okay.
it's during that time.
But they
But
were
they're
sisters and
si no
cousins.
sisters and sisters, like two
No, but
sets.
I'm saying, were the two sisters cousins
No,
to each
the two
other?
no, they're
Oh,
sisters,
okay.
sisters, sisters.
I thought they
It's just
were.
two separate sets of
Gotcha,
sisters,
gotcha.
and
So they were just friends, though. The two sister
yeah.
groups were just friends. Gotcha.
Yeah, but the names were Mary Wise and Betty Wise. The other two sisters are Marge Ganser and Mary Ann Ganser. They started doing like a lot of school talent shows and stuff, like when they started
Like
at,
sock hops and stuff.
yeah,
Oh,
like
okay.
Teen Bops or whatever they were called, Teen
Yeah.
Hops. And like talent shows, all that stuff in the early 60s. But they got the eye, they caught the eye of like some record producer, and they recorded like a couple albums and stuff. But they then signed to a bigger record label, Redbird Records, in 64 with them. That's when they became more famous, like they became more known. So like number the most the song that reached number one in the Billboard charts was
Leader of
Leader
the
of the
Pack.
Pack.
I
Yeah,
love that
and then
song.
that
I
song is
do.
like your iconic
Yeah.
teenage tragedy song of the time that was really popular in the 60s when you would write about somebody dying, like your boyfriend or your girlfriend or something. And then also it was very they were using like really they were using that they were using motorcycle
Motorcycle, that's so funny. That could be
sound for that
we
song,
used
and like
it as
breaking
our
glass,
sound
because you know
effect.
the guy's the leader of the motorcycle gang, and like he
At the
dies,
beginning and stuff, I like
and
it, yeah. I
yeah,
love
so
that song.
yeah, that was one of their songs that made them famous. And then another one that people will know them from is Remember Walking in the Sand. That's another one that made that was that had
Maybe if I
very
heard that
famous.
one, I would know,
I mean,
but
that had some popularity. And then to a reference to a movie,
Oh, there we go.
The
Here we go.
Goodfellas. That's like one of my favorite gang. That's actually my only gangster movie that I like.
I've never
But
seen
there's
it.
a that song comes out. It's in the soundtrack.
Oh, okay.
So if you've seen The Goodfellas, you've
I
heard of the Shangri-La's "Remember Walking in the
don't
Sand."
know.
And
Oh, there we go with our movie reference.
but yeah, and then but that song, they originally let you know they recorded their song, the song, and it's like 7 something minutes long. So
Oh,
the
wow.
record company, in order,
So,
they're like, you
no.
can't release this as a
Another
song.
Bohemian
Yeah, well, this
Rhapsody
is before
situation.
them
I
too.
know, but I'm saying like another.
So they cut it at, they still released it, but they cut it at 2 minutes and something seconds.
Really? Huh.
So
That is
that's
a
why you,
fun
that's why
fact,
you,
'cause I didn't know that.
yeah, so like the
Wait, was this
original.
for the song The Leader of the Pack or
No,
another
this
song?
was for Remember Walking in the Sand.
Oh.
You act like you don't care now.
Well, no, I maybe if I heard the song, I'd be
Oh,
like, oh yeah, I
yeah.
know which one you're talking about, but for some reason I can't
But
think
you
of
know,
it,
their
which
whole
one it is.
image was like the bad girls and this and that. But
They
like you
were
know,
the
all
edgy
their
girls.
songs too, like she like the songs they would write, they were all like, oh, like you know, your teenage problems, girl, like teenage stupid problems, like listen to your parents, or like
No, I get what you're
not like
saying.
they're not telling you listen to your parents, but there's a song that is, oh my God, what's it called? What's it called?
Don't listen to your
Never
parents.
Go Home or Never Come Home or something. And it's basically a song that like she ran away, she you know, her mom told her not to go with that boy, to leave with him, to like what's it called, get hitched
'Cause
with him or whatever. And and she didn't listen, you know, I wanted my way. And then the mom dies because of like her sadness that the daughter left
from
without
a
her
broken
heart.
heart.
Yeah, and then so she's like all sad in the song, and she was, so she's like always like listen to your parents, like or some bullshit. Like I can't remember how it ends. Oh, sorry. You can
Wow.
bleep that out. Yeah, so they're very like all their songs are very dramatic, like you swear, like you know, like teenage, like oh my, I feel like I'm repeating myself, like
Well, no,
teenage
but
girl
I mean, you got to
drama.
put yourself in
Like
that shoes too. When we were teenagers, everything that was happening to us, I felt like it was the end of the world. Like
that's
half
true.
a breakup. I don't know if it's just
You
a girl thing or something, but a breakup, it's like, what are you laughing about? What?
gonna say something mean.
When don't you?
But I held
Anyway.
myself back.
Oh no, the strength you had to not make fun of me like always. You know what? I think that's why it's real, though. You know, with us, we're always making fun of
I swear
each
to God,
other.
it seems like he jumped like a cat, or she jumped like a cat.
Okay. Oh, I'm sorry. Are you done,
Oh,
or
I know. Am I
is
done?
it
No,
my
wait,
turn?
no. Those songs were famous. Oh, one thing. Okay, so they end up, you know, they have some fame and everything, and
What were we gonna say?
and then they kind of wither
Faded off?
away, fade off away. Yeah, fade away. Basically, it's like the late 60s by now. It's
Oh,
like, but in
yeah.
68 or 69 is when
That's
they
when they were all
wither,
kind of breaking
like
up.
breaking, like all that music was kind of fading,
Well,
was not
it
trendy
was
anymore.
changing. Remember, it was
Yeah.
changing to like disco and stuff.
Well, no, this is
Remember, the
like the,
Supremes kind of started,
yeah,
and
but
then.
that's like, mid-70s, though. Not early 70s, isn't it?
Well, it's like mid.
But besides 60s, that,
late 60s, I
yeah,
guess.
It's just like, you know, the record companies end up, you know, like, oh, look, there's something new. So
right.
They kind of like go away, basically. Right.
Did but, they go on to be solo artists? Any
well,
of,
actually, that's what I was going
to
tell you.
Ask that, yeah,
the lead singer, Mary Wise, like, I don't know because I was too lazy to Google it. But I remember somebody telling me that or hearing something that, like, that record company kept her from singing until recently, like in the 2000s when she came out again with a solo album. Like, yeah, I guess when she signed the contract, I guess they basically
like
owned everything of her or some thing like that. And then I know that they were trying to fight it because they were like, no, dude, like she was young at the time. She was like 18 or something like that.
Wow. That long?
Yeah, because they kept, I don't know what the actual
but
legal
that's
thing.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah. I didn't know that either. I remember somebody told me, I was like, oh, I'm like, that's why she just released. I remember she released an album like, couple of years ago. I don't remember.
Maybe they made her sign like a non-compete, you know, when
I don't know, maybe. I don't know. This is the 60s, so it's like the record companies are gonna fucking, abuse you.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Stuff.
Hopefully it's changed nowadays, but
yeah
I'm sure it was very...
but the one of them died from a heroin overdose.
Which one?
In the 70s. One of the twins. Who was the, like, the main, like...
Really?
Not... She wasn't the main girl in the group, but she was the main bossy one. Mm. Like, the one that would fight with the... Argue with the record companies. But, yeah, apparently she had... Yeah, I didn't know that. And that, like... Well, this is something that somebody told me, too. That, like... Because I'm too lazy to Google.
So you just went around asking
No, but I remember these stories from talking to people.
No, I know.
Like, and I remember this one from an older person. I don't remember if it was an older guy or a girl. I think it was somebody, and they told me that at the time people were like, "Oh no, like she died from some seizure or something because it was such a bad thing hiding.
Yeah.
You know, she died from a heroin.
Yeah.
You know, only you know, colored people die from that.
Right.
You know, in the 70s and stuff. So
they had a stigma with that, huh?
Yeah.
Like that, it was just."
But yeah, so they try to hush, but like, I don't know that, like, yeah,
that's
like,
right.
If you actually look at some records or something, like, they say it's a heroin overdose, but the family says, no, it's a seizure.
To this day, there's
I don't know about till
that,
this
oh,
day,
say,
but I know
day?
It was.
Wow.
Let's see. But yeah, so.
Wow.
But I really love them. I really like all their songs. Like, I like a lot of their songs. And, they cover a lot of other girl songs of other girl groups.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Like, they cover... Well, I mean... You know, like, Tina Turner and the Iketts?
Yeah.
Well, you know how they went solo? They broke away from Ike and Tina.
Yeah.
But before that, I think, or around that time, they wrote a song called I'm Blue, and...
they covered
one of the I think it was Mary Ann, the girl that overdosed. She did the lead vocals. Oh, because that was the other thing. Like, you know how a lot of time it was like one lead vocal and the other ones were always just backup. No, in this one there was a lead, like a main one, Mary Wise. But then the other girls did leads in other songs, so it wasn't just always, you know,
right.
Mary, like the first one, and she, like Mary Ann, the one that died from the heroin overdose, she covered I'm Blue by the Iketts.
Have you noticed too that like most of the girl bands in the 60s and stuff, the girl groups that we're talking about and everything, they were either like Hispanic or part Hispanic. Yeah, well, I just told you the Ronettes, they were you know, they were, there's either like Hispanic or they're mixed with Hispanic, and also like African American, or they're mixed with that, you know. I thought that was pretty awesome because first of all, the best singers, you know, that have a really deep voice and everything, I think they have a lot of the girls that I saw when I was doing research, started off like in church, like in church choir and stuff like that. They have amazing voices. Like, what churches are teaching you, you know, to extend a note like that and things like that? But yeah, a lot of them started in churches, you know, in church choirs and everything. Oh, I'm sorry. Did I interrupt you?
Oh, no. I thought I was done.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Perfect. Oh. Okay. No, I was like, wait, I'm not even supposed to be talking yet. Okay. So I guess it's my turn. Well, first, let me finish my thought. What I was saying, too, is I would personally describe that, you know, the girls' songs at the beginning were, and maybe they did have double meanings and stuff, but they were really innocent. Like, what? Going back to what you were saying about like teenage situations and everything, like it was about love and he touched me, like he grabbed my hand, you know, and I felt butterflies and I want to marry him and things like that, you know, very innocent and naive and pure, you know. That's I think.
Yeah,
maybe they did have double meanings and everything, but it was very sweet and pure.
But a lot of, like, the Shangri-La songs are, like...
Well, they were the edgy.
They were, like, the edgier ones. Right? Yeah. So they were, like, I'm gonna leave with my boyfriend. And they leave. Yeah. And then the fucking... The mom dies.
Oh, yeah. And well, yeah, maybe they were the, well, you know, like an exception because they were the, you know, edgy girls. All right. Well, let me get started on The Supremes. So
that is like the most poppy mainstream 60s.
But it's awesome. And okay, so the Supremes alone of them held 12 number one singles on the Billboard Hot 100 during their time. You know, like when
Because they started in the 50s too, right?
Yeah, they did. And I'll give me 1 second, I'll get to that. Okay, so the Supremes. Let's start with who was in the Supremes. So the Supremes consisted of Florence Ballard, Mary Wilson, Betty McClown, I hope I said it correctly, and of course Diana Ross. And that was the original group. And you know how you were saying about your groups that it had two different lineups and everything? That's exactly what happened with the Supremes. And but
then, they had more, didn't they? Like 3 or 4.
Well, no, that's what I'm saying. They changed around a lot. Yeah. But when the original ones, these were the original ones. And then they had changed their name a lot too, like from being just the Supremes. And then at a point too, it was called Diana Ross. And the Supremes. Which, they first started with they were called the Primettes. Mm-hmm. And actually, I found this group to be the most interesting with facts and connections in Hollywood and things like that, and you'll see why right now. But let's start. They grew up in Detroit, Michigan, and they were the Primettes when they were only 14 and 15 years old. Actually, that's when they started. They were like in middle school still. And what had happened?
Not middle school.
Oh, well, maybe it isn't, huh? Maybe it's like ninth grade already, high school. Okay, so middle school or high school, but I think you're right. But anyway, what had happened is that one of the girls, I think it was, Mary Wilson. I can't remember that. Anyway, it was one of the girls. She was dating a guy that was already in a group, and they were called the Primes. So then I don't really know how it started, but she would get together with her friends from school, which were the other girls that were in the group. They would sing, just joking around and things like that. The guy that was like the one that had given them the, I don't know, if the record producer or whoever, you know. he saw the girls messing around or heard them and stuff, and he liked them, so he said, let's do this as a sister act to the Primes. And that's why they were called the Primettes. So that's what they first started with. They got signed to a really small label. in 1959 and went under the Primettes. But then they didn't like the name, or I don't really even know how this started, but they didn't think it was succeeding like that. They changed their name to the Supremes. And they were signed to Motown, which Motown is a really big one, especially out there in the Midwest. Yeah, in Detroit. I guess Detroit is at the Midwest still. Yeah. Who knows? Anyway, so yeah, they had the most number one hits on the billboards out of all the girl groups. And so they had 12 number one singles that were on the Billboard Hot 100. But the most interesting thing about it is that not only were they number one on the Billboard Hot 100, but at this time, the same exact time, was the time that the Beatles were, you know, the whole British invasion. So they had to compete against the Beatles, and they were up there, you know. But, and a lot of their songs were, you know, written by the main guy that was doing everything in Motown and everything. So it kind of stuck. It kind of had the same tones and,
Wait, is that Smokey Robinson?
Oh, that's a good thing you brought that up. Guess what? Diana Ross was actually next door neighbors of Smokey Robinson. Yeah. They were next door neighbors. Fun fact. That is so funny. Yeah. That's probably actually how they got introduced, you know, into Motown. But yeah, they were next door neighbors, Diana Ross and Smokey Robinson. No, it gets weirder, trust me, you're gonna okay. Let me see. What else was I gonna say?
You know,
No, what were we gonna say?
Oh, I was gonna say, like, oh, you know who got screwed by, like, Motown Records?
Who?
Was Mary Wells. Like, she was a really popular, made them a lot of money, and then they screwed her at the end.
They kicked her out and stuff?
Yeah. Wow. Like, and they, like, you know, they find those legal ways of, not...
That you were just saying, about the, the loopholes and things like that, yeah.
Yeah, she was, like, broke.
Oh, yeah. Okay, so, and let me just, a side note and stuff, too. When I was doing this, the research for the Supremes and stuff, I was listening to a lot of songs, like, from Motown and everything. And on the research, too, I found out that they were saying, you know, that, like, R&B kind of came from these girl groups.
Yeah.
And I was like, no, I don't hear it and stuff, but it's, I kind of hear it, like, even something as, like, Boyz II Men, they were referencing to, you can hear it if you would imagine, you know, that it's kind of, like, that same tone, the same melody, the smoothness and everything, you know, that
but Supremes, like, everything evolved, like, it evolved.
No,
so that's why.
But I thought it was pretty interesting that you know, it kind of came from them. And a lot of African-American artists have credited, like, the Supremes for being, you know, for opening doors for them in the industry and things like that. So not only did they, do they say, oh, well, we kind of came up with R&B from them and stuff, they also, you know, credit them for breaking a lot of glass ceilings, you know. In their time and stuff, so but yes, oh, what I was gonna say, I want to talk about Diana Ross, obviously, the most, because she was, I think she made the Supremes, you know. And here's the fun fact about Diana Ross,
right?
Okay, so do you know who Gene Simmons is?
Yeah, the Kiss. One from Kiss? Yeah.
Okay, from Kiss, the demon.
How the hell are they related?
No.
Or connected.
And it's so funny. You know how I was telling you, like, oh, let's find a connection between these bands that we're doing? So remember in the first one, the Ronettes, I was telling you that Cher did backup for their song? Well, in this group, Cher was dating Gene Simmons, okay? Mm-hmm. Christmas was coming up, and she was friends with Diana Ross, and she told Gene Simmons, I think you should tell Diana to help you pick out my Christmas present. And so he did. He asked her to help him with the Christmas present, and they ended up having, like, this affair pretty much and everything.
Oh, what?
Yes. So Cher found out, broke up with him, was pissed and everything. But then, so then Diana Ross and Gene Simmons were dating for 2 years. Wow. Yeah, for 2 years. Uh-huh. And then Diana Ross broke up with Gene Simmons because he found out that he was cheating on her again back with Cher.
Oh,
yes. Okay. Isn't that funny, though? That's, like, everything kind of connects, you know? Yeah, and so he dated both Cher and Diana Ross. So that's an interesting connection, I think, that we didn't even, you know. Another fun fact, let me see. She was friends with Michael Jackson.
What's up with her always, like, why do they make fun of her, like, as a drunk and stuff? Is she, like, a drunk or something?
Well, I don't know if she's a drunk, she, like, but she got diva, arrested. Right?
Yeah, I
she
remember.
Got arrested in, like, 2002.
I remember that video. And I'm like,
really?
Like,
was it alcohol? I didn't know. Yeah, they just said it was a substance and that she was in a rehab at that time. Well, she was supposedly in a
maybe
rehab
they were
at
like
that
some
time.
Kind of pills. I don't know.
That's what I thought.
But I do remember her getting pulled over.
Yeah.
And she being got all like a fucking
crazy
drama queen.
Maybe
like,
she was drunk then. And she only did like a 2-day sentence in Connecticut or something like that. So who knows, maybe it was even like home arrest or something, you know, when you're rich and famous.
Yeah.
Who knows? But yeah, I thought that was pretty interesting because you would never think Diana Ross and Gene Simmons.
Yeah.
It's like, really? Okay. But just because of their like their style of music and everything,
I think
you
that's
know
why
it's
you're
like really? But and Cher too. I mean, Cher has done a lot of different genres, but still with Gene Simmons. But hey, you know, get it, demon. All right. So yeah, that I think that's about it that we have to say. So I'm pretty much done with this. So I think we did good for our first part. Anything else you want to add?
No.
We're so serious in this episode. We're usually all silly and everything, but I don't know. I had a really good time doing this, and I'm glad. I am glad we're still going to have to do the part two.
Yeah.
But, yeah, thanks for listening, everyone, and stay tuned for our
part two,
which will probably be in, you know, next week or in a couple weeks. Thanks, everyone.
Bye.
Bye.